Rye. We're just jumping right back in here looking at the Holy Spirit. And now we're looking at the gift of tongues. So anytime you talk about the Holy Spirit, pretty much tongues is going to be brought up. And especially within the Pentecostal charismatic movement. You know, a lot of times what we end up having to do is define ourselves by what we're not. All right, that just comes with the territory. You're going to have to do that. That, you know, we don't believe this. Now, here's what happens is when you, when people hear that you don't believe in tongues, as the charismatics do it, they're instantly, because I've had this happen to me, they're immediately going to assume then that you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Okay, I've had more than one person accuse me of, you guys don't believe in the Holy Spirit there. I'm like, no, we do believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Bible. We just believe in it properly interpreted through Scripture rather than our own private interpretation. So just understand that those things are going to come. And a lot of times when you are holding a position, you're many times defining what you're not. So we believe in tongues, but we don't believe this. You know, we're not like the charismatics and the Pentecostals believe it. That's so just understand that as you do that, that's with any topic, any doctrine that's out there, any false doctrine that's out there. Many times you're going to have to define yourself by what you are or what you're not, rather. Something along those lines is, you know, when we say, well, we're local church only. The fact that we even have to say local before we say church is redundant, because the word church itself means a called out assembly. You have to be local for it to even be a church. But because of the false doctrine that's out there, we have to define ourselves by saying we're local church, because not because of our misconception of what the word means, but because of Christendom's misconception of what the word means. They don't know what it means, and they don't have a clue. And it's far and wide too. I mean, there's a few like pages that I've liked on Facebook, and I'll see them every time this one page posts something on, you know, being faithful to church, going to church, being a part of church. And every single time, the ignorance that comes out on that thing is amazing in regard to, you know, well, we don't need to be in a building. I'm like, he didn't say a building. Okay, he said go to a church, but because you don't understand what a church truly is, you have this misconception. So we have to sometimes define ourselves by what we're not, and obviously by what we are as well. Now, defining ourselves by what we are is what our camp meeting's about. Okay, this is what we are. But now what we're looking at here is we're defining ourselves by what we're not. So we're not what the Pentecostal charismatics hold to as far as tongue speaking, okay? Again, last week we kind of finished with this personal prayer. The two categories it's usually divided into is personal prayer tongues and public tongues. And, you know, the more charismatic ones are the ones that, you know, don't want to shy away from that. Speak and just are not afraid to speak in tongues during a meeting. I mean, they'll just stand up and someone will just start speaking in tongues, and maybe someone will interpret, maybe not. Okay, but then there's the prayer tongues, and those are the more, you know, we want to look more within mainstream Christianity. So we'll kind of have this private prayer language that, oh, the devil can't understand it. Only God can. And that's really what they say, but you don't see it anywhere in the Bible. Okay, so moving on here. Biblical tongues were a sign to Israel regarding the founding of the church and ceased when the foundation of the church was completed. So they were, it's important we understand they were assigned to Israel, but they were assigned to Israel regarding the founding of the church. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, if we would. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sorry, I'm trying to get this thing going here. All right, we want verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 and 9. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Let me just get this thing on here. It's, you know, one track mind. Okay. So again, biblical tongues were assigned to Israel regarding the founding of the church and ceased when the foundation of the church was completed. So it says there that they shall cease. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. They're going to stop. We know in part, we prophesy in part. We can continue on, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 20 as well. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues, here it is, are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. So they're a sign for the unbeliever. And again, every time you see tongues used in the Bible, it's always used. A Jew is always present. Every single time the gift of tongues was used in the Bible, every example we have of it, a Jew was always present. And a Jew, the Jews seek after a sign. Okay, the Greek seeks after knowledge. So Jews always seek after a sign. That's what they told Jesus. Well, just show us a sign and we'll believe you. They're always wanting a sign. Show me something. Let me see something. When Moses showed up, you know, what did God give him? So, well, he said, "How? What do I tell the people when they say, you know, who are you? Who sent you?" And what did he do? He gave him some signs to be able to show them the leper's hand, the what else was it? I forgot. The rod turning into a snake. That was more for Pharaoh. But anyway, he gave him some signs to see that they could believe. So the Jews need a sign. The Jews seek after a sign. And again, signs are for those that believe not. Okay, those without faith. All right, and then let's go to Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. So the sign ceased when the foundation of the church was completed. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So once the foundation was laid, we didn't need the sign anymore. Hence we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 8, and it says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Why? Because that which is when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I believe that's speaking of the word of God. Once we have that and the foundation of the church has been laid, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. When all these things come together, then we no longer need the sign. Tongues shall cease. We're told that they're for a sign. Tongues are for a sign. We don't need the sign anymore because that which is perfect is come. So we have the reality of it. We have the word of God. We have his church is... it's all come together. The foundation has been laid through the apostles and prophets. And again, looking at the church being the foundation, well, who gave us the word of God? The apostles. I mean, they're the ones that gave it to us. So now this, that which is perfect, it's come. We have everything that we need. The foundation has been laid. The sign is no longer needed. Okay? So God plainly tells us that this was the purpose for tongues. Paul tells us that tongues was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. So let's go ahead and go to Isaiah 28. We're going to pick up in verse 7, Isaiah 28, verse 7. So verses, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Why? Because they're not sober-minded. I mean, just look at it. They keep saying the same thing. They've erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. This is what has messed them up. This is why they stumble in judgment, because their mind is not thinking clear. This is part of what the problem is. That's just a side note. Verse 8, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. I mean, and where does that come from? Look what's made it filthy. I mean, just when you start thinking about what that is, but it's caused them to stumble in judgment. This has brought in error. It says that the tables are full of vomit and filthiness. Filthiness, when you begin looking at the connections, the connotations with that, it's speaking of lawlessness as well, which is what you see right here. They're not obeying God's law. They're not following God's law. Okay, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now look at this. A question is asked here. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So somebody needs to know knowledge. Someone needs to know doctrine. Doctrine needs to be taught. So he asks the question, then he gives the answer. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Now, you can make that connection there. What does that lead us back to? What's that? Being a babe, okay. Another scripture that should take us back to. That's foundational to growth. Think of the pillar and ground of the truth. The doctrine of Christ. Why? How do we know? Milk of the Word. Where's it at? Hebrews 5, starting about verse 12 through 14, deal with that. It's the milk of the Word, okay? So whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So to know doctrine, then you have to have the foundation. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. It's perfect connection with Hebrews chapter 5 through 6, 1 and 2. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that's how you teach people. All right, this is how people are going to grow and learn things, is line upon line, precept upon precept. In teaching, you have to teach the unknown through the known. What people already know, you have to use that to lay the groundwork for what they don't know. And this is what it means to teach line upon line, precept upon precept. So we're just going to teach this principle here, and then we're going to go to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. This is many times all I'll keep bringing up things like this, the doctrine of Christ. I'll say, look, here's this. We have this. Now let's add to it. Let's build a little bit more on it. Let's just keep going up. Let's keep growing. Okay, but if we don't first have that foundation laid, if the milk isn't there, then we're not of a stable age to be weaned from that and go on to something further. That's why a lot of people stumble in their growth. This is kind of side from where we're at here dealing with tongues, but this is why a lot of Christians stumble in their growth and get nowhere. I just don't understand that. I just don't get that. I just don't get that, right? Go back to the foundation. Get the milk. You need to understand the milk. Get the milk. If you're stumbling on the milk, you ain't going to get the meat. Okay, and a lot of people pride themselves in, well, you know, I can understand the deeper things of God. If you don't get the milk, no, you don't understand the deeper things of God. Okay, no babies, you know, gnawing on a piece of meat, you know, a steak, and saying, I don't need milk anymore. No, that we'd say, that's ridiculous. This child, get that away from that child. They cannot eat that. You know, they're going to choke on that thing. It'll kill them. Well, there's a lot of people that are dead spiritually, and I'm not talking about lost. I'm talking about saved people who have just, they're stunted. They're done. They're right there because they cannot understand the milk. It is so important. It's huge that we understand the milk of the Word. And then from that point, we can build line upon line, precept upon precept, and we can begin to know more and to learn more. But if we don't first get that, there's really no hope for anyone. I mean that. There's no hope of you going forward and growing and really effectively serving God if you cannot get the milk. You have to get that. So this is what it's talking about here, okay? Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now, all right, we get into verse 11. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So, as we look at this, God is going to use tongues to teach people, even to teach them doctrine, because the Jews need what? They need a sign. Okay, so he says, I'm going to use these tongues so I can teach you doctrine. Then what happened on the day of Pentecost is we go back and look at that first mention of tongues. What happened? Was he able to teach them some doctrine? Help me. Okay, what did he teach them? What doctrine did he teach them? Go back. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 because you need to see this. I want you to start connecting dots. Again, this right here, if you say, I'm not exactly familiar with what happened in Acts chapter 2, this is why it's so important we read our Bibles. Amen. Okay, so we understand a greater scope of the Word of God and we can begin to connect dots. All right, so he says, I'm going to give you tongues. I'm going to speak in tongues so that you can understand doctrine. All right, because I want to teach you something, and Jews need a sign. Jews seek after a sign, okay? Tongues are for a sign. All right, so you looking in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, what doctrine through the tongue speaking that got their attention, correct? Okay, and then what doctrine, what followed after the tongue speaking? Y'all help me out. What happened next? After the tongue speaking, then what happened? What? Okay, and then Peter preached. All right, you can't answer anymore. All right, and then Peter preached. Okay, correct? Everyone see that? All right. So they said right here, verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And then he starts preaching, right? Okay, God said in Isaiah 28, he says he's going to use tongues to teach doctrine. I mean, that's the context of what's going on there. The doctrine is going to be laid line upon line, precept upon precept, and he's going to use, you know, men of other tongues are going to teach you these things. All right, tongues are going to be used to teach you, to get your attention, as we can see it in the connection here. And I get it as well that it's going to be men of other nations even are going to use tongues to speak to them, and even it could be other nations coming to judge Israel is going to teach them. I get all that, but in a greater application of what's being said in Isaiah chapter 28, tongues are going to be used so that they can be taught doctrine. Everybody with me so far? Okay, so we see the miracle of the day of Pentecost is that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and everyone understands them. And then they say, these guys, some of them are saying, man, these guys have got to be drunk. What in the world is going on? How can we all understand them? We're not even from here. And he just lists off all these other places, these other nations that they're from, these other languages that they know, being Hellenized, which is, you know, basically Greek-influenced Jews that don't speak Hebrew. Okay, that's essentially what you have here, is it's listing off all these names. They're Jews, but they live in other parts of the world, and they've been what's called Hellenized, meaning they've just been kind of taught the philosophy of the world, although they have their religious Judaism. That's why they're here on the day of Pentecost, because they're there for the feast, okay, for the day of Pentecost. So this is what's going on. They say these guys got to be drunk. And then Peter stands up and say, no, they're not. Listen to what I have to say. And then he's going to teach them doctrine. And what does he teach them? If you're familiar with Acts chapter 2 and the rest of the message, what does he teach them? Now, save your spot in Acts 2. Let's go back to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Everybody there say amen. All right, this side's there. Everybody, we here? All right, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from what? And drawn from the breasts. Okay, them that are weaned from the milk. So they're no longer on the milk. Now, where did we connect that to? Okay, Hebrews 5:12. So let's say, we don't need to be in Isaiah anymore. Save your spot in Acts. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Everybody, Hebrews 5:12. All right, so Isaiah 28 said they need milk, right? All right, and we connected that to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. All right, so we're in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. So you should be teachers, but you're not. Okay, you need to be taught again. What is it? What do they need to be taught again? Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Look at this now. And are become such as have need of what? Milk and not of strong meat. So these people, this church needs to be fed with, with milk. They need milk. For everyone, verse 13, that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now remember back in Isaiah that they didn't have judgment. They didn't have sound judgment. Why? Because they were on milk. Okay, you have to get the milk, but use what you are learning in order to have that discernment. Okay, it says, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That's where proper judgment comes from, is when you put to use what you're learning. So when you begin to learn the milk, you're adding line upon line, precept upon precept. And to truly understand the Bible and to live it out means you have to do what it says. You have to apply it to your life. And as you do that, as we're told here in Hebrews, who by reason of use, when you use what you're learning, then God will do something to you. He says, have their senses exercised. So your senses are going to be exercised. You're going to begin to understand some things to discern both good and evil. Then you're going to know the difference between good and evil when you put to use what God is teaching you. Okay, we could look at it like this. You're going to be strengthened. You're going to get stronger as you take the milk in. And that's what we see with children. They don't just sit there and never do anything. They move, they play, they touch things, they grab things, they crawl, they walk, they begin running. I mean, and they get older and stronger, and they're not just on milk anymore. But as they use what they're given, the food to give them energy, now they are able to do things. And I mean, when you look at, it's funny to me when you get like a 2 or 3 month old and they can't control their hands and they'll just like smack themselves in the face and they start crying. I always laugh when they do that. Some people are like, oh, okay, maybe not everyone's like, how mean of pastor. I think it's funny when kids do that stuff, when they can't control their little hands and they don't know what they're doing. I mean, you ever seen a baby trying to grab their foot and put it in their mouth and their hand slips and they just smack themselves in the face? I mean, come on, it's okay to laugh. It's a joke. If you don't like that, don't laugh when babies do that. I'll chuckle inside maybe, okay? But they don't keep doing that. Sometimes as adults we do that, I've almost stabbed my eye before, okay, as a mechanic with trying to get something and you're holding it and it slips and wham, and I'm like, oh, man, thank God I can still see. I mean, it's been dangerous before. I've done that a few times before. So it's not that we don't stop doing those things, but we have more control over what we do. You begin to get fine motor skills. I mean, you ever watch a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, you're teaching them to tie their shoes? It's like the most stressful thing ever, teaching a little kid to tie their shoes. I'm like, just move your fingers. What are you doing? And they can't get it. They're just like, it's a big old mess. And when they first tie it, it's like, you're like, you didn't even tie them. They're like going to fall apart like the first step you take. But they got the process down and they begin to get better and better because those fine motor skills. Why? Because they're using. Okay. And then they have that discernment, so to speak, okay? Well, it's the same for us as Christians. As we use what we're given, then we begin to understand more. Amen. We get stronger. We grow. We get that discernment that God is talking about, okay? So, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But what do they need first? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why? They're just a baby. They're unskillful. That's just what it's going to be. It's okay. But you need the milk to get past the baby stage. Yeah. And by the way, I drank milk yesterday, okay? As you get older, you don't stop drinking milk. I like milk, amen? It was in a bowl of cereal, but I drank it. By the way, that's just the best part of the bowl of cereal is the milk afterwards, okay? Something's wrong with you if you dump it out. That's like some of my kids. Something's wrong with them. I don't know what it is. They get it from their mom. She's not here. All right. But my point is you keep getting the milk. You don't just cut it out. All right. It's the same thing for us as we grow. We still need the milk. It's still good. That gives us the discernment, okay? But now we're looking at this and we are saying, you know, forgot even where I was with all that. Where did I go? Acts chapter 2, all right? We're looking at Peter's message, right? Okay, so what doctrine did he teach? Now, we've come over here. We looked at it in Isaiah 28. He said he's going to use tongues to teach doctrine, all right? It connected it with milk. This has brought us to Hebrews chapter 2. And I ask now, as Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost, after the tongues were spoken, he taught them doctrine. What doctrine did he teach them? Now, we're here in Hebrews chapter 5. I stopped reading, but what comes next? Go ahead, look at it. Look at it. What comes next? What is it? Okay, now you're done. You can't answer anymore. The doctrine of Christ. Where does the doctrine of Christ come next? We're in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12. I read through verse 14. Somebody help me. What comes next? What comes after Hebrews chapter 5? Hebrews 6. Brianna said it. Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, now somebody please read for me Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Who wants to read that for me? Nobody. Brother Francisco, will you read it? Isaiah, I saw your hand after.
Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection.
Okay, stop. Now remember, Peter preached, after tongues were spoken on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and God said that tongues were going to be used to teach doctrine. So we're looking at what doctrine did Peter preach? Now pick up where you left off. Now, what doctrine did Peter teach in that message? What is it? Repentance and faith. Baptism. Is that it? Resurrection from the dead. Eternal judgment. Now, you can't have proper baptism without proper ordination. So what was he teaching? Right, so what was he teaching? What doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. This is the doctrine that he was teaching. So tongues were used to teach doctrine. There it is. This is where we're at. This is full circle here. Here's the message. Peter shows up and preaches. Now, granted, he didn't go into a lot of detail about all these doctrines, but there it is. There's the doctrine. And the three most prominent doctrines within that are repentance, faith, and baptism. Because that's exactly what we see happening as we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, so they hear his message. All right, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There it is. Repentance. Without repentance, you can't have faith. There's no salvation. You can't have baptism without repentance and faith first. Okay, so there's an order given. So when he says repent, faith is included, okay? And then baptism's next. So those are the three most prominent doctrines that he's teaching right there. And we can see it clearly laid out. And what was the groundwork for all that teaching to these Jews that require a sign? Tongues. Tongues were used. All right? So tongues are going to be used to teach doctrine. All right? Let's see. All right. So that's that part. I didn't plan on getting that much into it, but I hope we understand. I really, this is huge. I really want us to be able to start connecting these dots, to being able to see that what is being said here and connect it with other parts of the Bible, applying it to other parts of the Bible. I want you all to be able to grasp that, to be able to see those things. But what's going to make it so that you can understand those things is going to be, what do you need to know? the foundation, which is, what was it back there? The doctrine of Christ. Yes, so we have to know that. We have to understand those things. So for all of you that you say, well, I'm studying this over here, and I'm studying this in my own, and I'm studying this and this, let me tell you, stop. Stop studying whatever you're studying. And go back and study repentance first. And then go back and do a study on faith. And it's not just faith for salvation. It's faith for the Christian life.
Amen.
I mean, read through the Psalms and look at how many times it's talking about trusting in the Lord. All right? That's right there is some good stuff. Okay? But faith. And then study baptism.
Amen.
And then study the laying on of hands. Then the resurrection of the dead. Then eternal judgment. I'm telling you, these are never-ending studies. They really are. They'll just never end. But my point in saying all of that is study those things and get a good grasp on them. Why? So you can know the milk. So you can have a properly laid foundation. And then from there, you can begin to go forward and have that discernment that's necessary so you can see between good and evil. And the context of that is speaking about false doctrine. False doctrine. Because everything that calls itself Christianity out there is not. It's not. And there may be some good things that are said by somebody, but then they're all corrupt in this area over here.
That's right.
So we just have to have that discernment to be able to know the difference, to be able to understand. But that won't happen if we don't first ourselves have a foundation, a proper foundation of being built up on milk. We've got to know these things. We have to know the doctrine of Christ. We have to understand milk before we can go forward. We have to be able to make the application of this. Every one of us here, especially, let me say this, especially you ladies need to know this and understand this. This is not just something that the men need to know.
Amen.
Okay? Now, the men, you know, as I converse with them, we're studying and growing and learning in these things. I don't hear much of the ladies ever discussing these things. I don't. And that's a shame. Because this isn't just something that men need to know. You know, the ladies need to know this as well. So I encourage everyone to study these things out yourself. Don't just wait on, well, pastor will teach me. No, that's, yes, I will teach you, but study it out yourself so you get a greater grasp of it. So you get a greater understanding. So you know how to apply the scriptures. So you know what it looks like. So God is teaching you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And you have that proper foundation to build on, which was laid by the apostles and prophets. We want that. We need that. So it's very important that we understand these things, that all of you do. Now, moving on with this, biblical tongues were bound by apostolic direction. You can read about this in 1 Corinthians 14. A few things, though. No women speaking. They were to do it by course. There was to be interpretation. There was to be no confusion. The practice of tongues in modern times is not restrained in this way. And as you look at 1 Corinthians 14, I'm not really even going to get into it now because I'm about out of time. But as you go over there, I just encourage you, you get a chance to read through 1 Corinthians 14, and it does put the biblical order, because God, it tells us in verse 33 that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. And this is right around, this is in the context of all the tongue speaking. And to me, this is just God's slap in the face to every Pentecostal and charismatic. I mean, they are completely out of line.
Amen.
In what they do. And in the very chapter that they look to even to pull some of these things out, God is telling them, here's how you're going to do it if it's to be done. They ignore 1 Corinthians 13. Where it says tongues are going to cease. But even the way in which they do it is out of biblical order.
Right.
They don't even do it biblically if it was still for today. They're not doing it properly. You need an interpreter because, look, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? So the church comes together and we have someone come in that's an unbeliever. They're unlearned. They're going to say, what is wrong with these people? How many of you have been to a charismatic church and you've experienced that and you've said that? What is wrong with these people? All right, there's at least, I've never been to one, but I've witnessed it. Okay, man, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 at least. Okay, I've never personally been into a charismatic church where they've done that, but I've like seen it on television, okay? And I'm like, what is wrong with these people? I'm like, this is insanity. Because it's out of order. And it looks foolish. And it brings reproach on the name of God. Now, what happens in not all, but many charismatic churches is more in line with heathen worship that you see going on. Like when, who was it? When Samuel went against the, or not Samuel, Elijah went against the 800, 900 prophets of Baal. It's more in line with what they were doing, with the, what the prophets of Baal were doing. Them jumping up, shouting, screaming, cutting themselves, all that type of stuff. It fits more in line with heathen practice than with godly practice. Even in that story there with Elijah, he did everything in order. I mean, he's mocking them. He's like, hey, maybe he fell asleep. Scream louder. Me too. That's good. Wasn't loving, as they'd say today, but it was good. God seemed to like it. He recorded it. All right. Anyway, but when you contrast what they were doing versus what Elijah did, he just, you know, sets his offering there on the rock. He says, hey, go get some water. Dump it on it. Fill the trench even. I mean, it just completely covers it in the midst of a drought. Everything he did was in order. There was order to how he did it. And everybody got to see it. It wasn't like things that were hidden and stuff like that. I mean, as you start looking at the charismatic movement, and you know, they form these lines and people start coming and then they're just, you know, getting hit on the forehead and everyone just falling over and all this stuff and just the hysterical laughing, people crawling around. I mean, ladies falling on the floor and their feet flying up in the air and them having to cover them so they remain modest. I mean, where do you see any of this in the Bible other than in heathen worship? None of it's from God, but this is what happens because they've left biblical order. So, if tongues were for today, which they're not, because we know that we've been told they're going to cease, and they did, they have. But if they were for today, they're bound by apostolic direction. They're bound by biblical direction given to us by the apostles, by specifically the Apostle Paul. So they're to be within that boundary if they are for today, which they're not. All right. Another. Well, I'll save it for next week. So that's all for this week here. So let's go ahead. If we